It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United Soccer is brought to you by Equifax, The Home Depot, Mercedes-Benz, AT&T, Publix, Scana, Kauffman Tire, Lunazol, La Perea, Piedmont Healthcare, Heineken, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and Associate Credit Union.
The home for MLS in Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In front of a record crowd, nearly 10,000 fans tonight here at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. In Kennesaw, Atlanta United totally controls their U.S. Open Cup opener, and they send Charleston Battery to 3-0 elimination this evening. Goals by Andrew Carlton, Ezekiel Barco, and Romario Williams. We were very excited to see the front four that Tata Martino decided to start tonight, with Barco initially playing the number 10, but up front with Carlton and Williams and Gressel in the mix as well. And wouldn't you know it, all of them are in the goal-scoring factor tonight. Gressel had an assist, Barco a goal and an assist. But Atlanta United, I like the fact that they did what they needed to do tonight, and that was control the match.
I like the fact that you saw a team that could play with a physical team like Charleston. You look at the tackles number, we're handed the stats from the night, and you see a player like Andrew Carlton with three tackles. That's not something you see on a regular basis. Kevin Kratz with five. That's not something we've seen from him. When he plays that number six role, he can play it very well. Carlton also won four free kicks. Barco won one. Romario Williams won a couple. Just a strong performance overall, and they were able to match the physicality of the Battery. And that was a concern for me coming in. That's what Charleston can do to some teams, is they can, you know, kind of bully you a little bit. They can play direct. Svantesson is a handful up top at 6'5". And they were able to neutralize him really well.
This is one of the matches, Jason, where it's difficult to pick a man of the match, because Barco had a goal and an assist. Carlton looked really, really good tonight. Maybe his best match across all competitions all season. I thought Gressel played very well. So did Romario Williams. But you know who was quietly, extremely solid again tonight? Miles Robinson. And he's our man of the match, brought to you by Heineken.
Yeah, I felt like I was driving the Miles Robinson hype train a little bit tonight, but such a just intelligent performance from him. I mean, we know about his athleticism. We know he can jump out of the building. We know he's strong and fast, but so just intelligent in his positioning tonight. He shielded players away from trouble often. He was always in the right spot. I was really impressed with the leaps and bounds we've seen from Miles Robinson, who made his debut last year in the Open Cup against the Battery and looked out of his depth. And in 1 year, getting some more time, first training with the first team last year, then playing in USL this year with ATL UTD2, he looks like a completely different player.
Williams is shown at passing for 85% on the night, 53 of 68. He won two fouls and he created one chance. But outside of the statistics, you can really give a lot of credit to Romario Williams just for an overall solid game again. Back line, very solid. LGP played great, jumped up into the attack a couple times. Really like the work Sal Zizo put in as well tonight. His longest run out of the year, his fifth appearance with the first team, but only his second start and the most that he has played in any match, and I thought he did a really nice job.
Yeah, that's why you go out and you sign a guy like Zizo in the offseason, so you have that depth for these types of matches. Last year, we saw Tata Martino have to take more chances with his lineup in the Open Cup, especially in that next round against Miami, where you were in a busy part of the schedule and you had a number of injuries that you had to work around. Right now, you feel like you have a pretty deep squad at all positions that you can turn to when needed.
So Atlanta United now, their 10th win across all competitions, their first in U.S. Open Cup. They need four more to win their first ever trophy, and they will move on now. Orlando City has also moved on. We'll get to the other scores later on, but Orlando City won 3-0 over Miami United. That's a possible opponent in the next round. It could be Nashville. They're up on Colorado right now. It could possibly be D.C. They went through yesterday. Could be a team from Texas. There are a number of different possibilities, but the draw will come tomorrow.
How about this result, though? The team that we're going to see on Saturday, NYCFC, they played their crosstown rivals, the New York Red Bulls. 4-0 loss. That's not a replay from earlier this year in MLS play. It's another 4-0 loss for NYC. I wonder where their mindset's going to be coming into Saturday at Yankee Stadium.
With Wallace and Matarita both on international duty with Costa Rica for the World Cup, so they'll be a little bit shorthanded. Reports that Patrick Vieira may be managing his last match for New York City on Saturday. That's not officially confirmed yet, but there continues to be a lot of smoke around the rumors that he might be going to Nice. That is on Saturday, but what we're looking ahead to is capping off this U.S. Open Cup win for Atlanta United. The final statistical report, Atlanta United possessed at 56%, Charleston at 44%, Atlanta United 12 shots to Charleston's 11, 7 shots on target for the 5 stripes, just 2 for Charleston. Atlanta United had 4 corners, Charleston had 5, 10 crosses for Atlanta United, Charleston had 6, Charleston fouled 13 times, Atlanta United fouled 7 times, and Atlanta United passed at 86%. So that really is more like it now. We've had a couple matches in a row, Philadelphia, where they were well over 90%. 86% is about where the 5 stripes have been when they've played well all year, an indication that they were really connecting well tonight again.
And we saw them in the 4-2-3-1 tonight. That's another thing to keep in mind. They play a little bit differently in the 4-2-3-1, but one consistency that we've seen, at least in recent matches, focusing the attack down the left side. And that opens up opportunities on the opposite side. It's a very smart approach. We saw it at times last year, but last year it seemed to be a little bit of tunnel vision down the left side. You didn't see the big switch. This year you're seeing players like Barco tonight, Nagby in regular season play, completely comfortable hitting that big switch from left to right and opening things up.
All right, we're going to take a break. We are taking your questions. We're now just on radio, so we can be our normal selves again here. Go ahead and tweet us your feedback at Longshoe at ATL Soccer 929 and at Mike Conti 929. We're doing a full hour of the full-time report. We hope we'll have a guest from the locker room. We hope as well to give you some details about the other matches going on in U.S. Open Cup tonight. We are now told that Andrew Carlton will be our guest on the full-time report coming up right after this break. 3-0 Atlanta United over Charleston Battery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We come back with Peach because once again, Atlanta United wearing the King Peach kits tonight, take care of business in their first U.S. Open Cup match of 2018. 3-0, they defeat Charleston Battery, goals by Ezekiel Barco, Romario Williams, and our guest here on the full-time report, Andrew Carlton, who scored in the 14th minute. It was a golazo, in my opinion, and a beautiful way to get your first goal with the first team here in 2018. Andrew, great playing today. Good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How does it feel? I mean, you were running around a lot. You played the number 10 for a long stretch tonight. Ezekiel played number 10 for a little bit. But we liked the way that you were really combining with Ezekiel and really everyone out there. It looked pretty natural.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome to be out there. You know, anytime you get a chance to play with the first team, you got to show why you're there. And, you know, playing with Ezekiel and Rom and Brandon and all those guys up the field, you know, it was really fun. You know, Ezekiel is an amazing player. And, I mean, you know, if you give the ball to him, that he's going to find you back. So, you know, it was awesome to be out there with him.
Walk us through a little bit of what you saw on that goal. You know, I noticed you took the space really quickly. Were you surprised you had that much space?
Yeah, you know, in the start of the game, they closed us down really well and didn't give us much time on the ball. And then it just happened that one time where Kev turned and I found a little pocket. And, you know, I feel really comfortable in that area. And that's where, you know, as a number 10, you got to earn your money or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I just got the ball and saw the space and attacked it. And, you know, I was top of the box and just let it go. And it was a pretty good shot, and I was happy to see it go in.
Felt like there were stretches, especially after you score, where the match got a little bit chippy, a little physical, certainly something that plays into Charleston style. Did you see it the same way down on the pitch? Because it looked like you guys really responded well to it.
Yeah, I mean, they're a really, really physical team. They pride themselves on that, and, you know, I thought we did a good job matching it. You know, if they come in and can bully us around and run us over, we'd have a hard time with that. But I thought we matched their physicality and, you know, battled back well. And so, you know, and then I think our play just kind of took the game over. And so, you know, I thought it was a good job to do that.
What stood out to me was you were second in the team in tackles for the night. That's not something that people expect out of you.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, you know, I've been trying to work on is defensively. You know, I feel comfortable going forward, but, I mean, all 11 players on the field got to play defense. And so, you know, it's something I've been working on, you know, and I tried to run my socks off as best I can and put myself in the situation to be able to make a tackle. And then when you get there, you just got to make it happen. So, I mean, that was pretty happy to see that number. I actually didn't know that.
So I'm going down the Andrew Carlton milestone checklist right now. First MLS assist a couple weeks ago. First goal of the season with the first team. Play a full 90 with the first team tonight. Just from a confidence standpoint, how good does it feel to get the full 90 with the first team and really be one of the catalysts to a 3-0 win?
Yeah, you know, it feels really good. As an attacking player, you know, it's your job to kind of make things happen. And, you know, I was happy to be able to get a goal and to be able to be involved in a few attacks going forward. And to be out there and play the full 90, you know, is great to see. You know, I know the coaching staff and all believes in me, and it's my job to show them why they should believe in me. And so, you know, I was very happy to be out there for the full 90.
Feel like you can give another 90 on Saturday?
For whoever it may be, I mean, I'm ready to go whenever.
Okay, it must be nice to be young, right?
I'm going to enjoy it while I can. So.
Yeah, we're up here like, can we go another 90 on Saturday?
Hey, I mean, I'd like to see you guys out there.
So. No,
no, you don't.
No,
you don't want to see that.
No, you don't. But let's talk about Saturday, and it could be with the twos. It could be with the first team going up to Yankee Stadium. Really tough stretch of MLS matches before the World Cup break at New York City, at Columbus, but I think the one thing we've learned about you guys is you play so well on the road. Talk about that mentality of going out on the road and not being afraid to go out there and get 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, last year I thought, you know, at home we do what we do at home, and, you know, on the road sometimes we would struggle. And I think this year we've made a, you know, big try to push for being better on the road. And, you know, I think it showed, you know, we've got some really good results on the road. And, you know, hopefully this week going up to New York City, you know, they're a great team. And hopefully we'll be able to go up there and do what we do and hopefully come away with the win.
How comfortable was it tonight playing next to Ezequiel Barco?
I mean, he's the type of guy that makes things easier for everybody. Whenever you give the ball, there could be two, three guys on him. You know, he's gonna do what he does and get out of it. And so, you know, he's really good at creating and making stuff happen, and it makes your job easier because, you know, if you make that run, he's going to get it to you. So, you know, he's so fun to play with, and, you know, somebody that I look up to, even though he's just, you know, a year and a half or so older than me, you know, but it was awesome to be out there with him.
Well, we're going to the airport on Friday. We hope you'll be there with us as we go up to Yankee Stadium in New York City, but I thought you played great tonight.
Thank you.
Absolutely, just a terrific effort tonight. You should be very proud, and it was really cool to see 17 years old, 19 years old, 23 years old, scoring the goals tonight in the U.S. Open Cup. Great play.
And don't forget about Chris Gaza making his
debut
tonight.
Yeah, right. Yeah, your fellow homegrown player. Yeah, not a lot of time, but he was out there and he belonged to. Great playing, Andrew Carlton. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you.
Great stuff, Andrew.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Andrew Carlton, who scored in the 14th minute for Atlanta United. If you want to keep your headset on, you can hear how I called it because we're going to go through the highlights right now. Andrew opening the scoring in the 14th minute. Carlton now dribbling into the attacking third. Carlton takes a shot. What a goal! What a goal by Andrew Carlton. Atlanta United with a 1-0 lead in the 15th minute. Andrew took his headset off, so he didn't get to hear it, but it wasn't that great anyway. It was a great goal, not a great call. But anyhow, 1-0 Atlanta United, and they would take that lead into halftime. But then very early in the second half, they would get a second goal on the board, and it was good work to draw a penalty kick to give Ezequiel Barco the opportunity. Romario Williams now in the left attacking third. Nice ball by Williams and taken down in the penalty area. Penalty kick. And from there, Ezequiel Barco would step up to the spot. No stranger taking penalty kicks with Independiente. This is the first time he would take one with Atlanta United, and he would convert. Ezequiel Barco gets the whistle. Barco, 2-0 Atlanta United. If you're watching on the video stream, it was actually deflected by Odesnell Cooper, the keeper, and then off the crossbar, and someone on Twitter said, we need to rename Barco Cross Barco, because three of his goals now this year have tipped off the crossbar, but it gave Atlanta United a 2-0 lead, and then they kept their foot on the gas. That was great to see, and Romario Williams, who put in hard work all night, was paid off in the 65th minute. And then it's Kevin Kratz winning it and sending it up to Barco. Carlton's ahead of him, as is Williams. Romario Williams! 3-0 Atlanta United! And that would hold as the final scoreline, 3-0. Atlanta United totally dominant in the second half, if not statistically dominant. Possession was 51-49 in the second half, Atlanta United. But you never felt like they were under threat at any point in the second half, and it goes as a 3-0 win. And now we wait to see who will the opponent be in the next round on June 20th. Will it be Orlando City? They have won tonight. Will it be DC United? They won last night. Will it be Nashville? They have a 1-0 lead on Colorado in the 63rd minute. Will it be Houston? They have a 1-0 lead on the North Texas Rayados in the 68th minute. Could it be Dallas? We're picking out teams that are in relative geographical proximity to Atlanta United because they'll go back into geographic pods tomorrow and then they'll have another draw. I think a lot of supporters are enticed by the possibility it could be Orlando, maybe even at the Benz, maybe as soon as next weekend.
Maybe.
But we don't know that yet.
Yeah, we won't know till tomorrow. 11 o'clock is when the draw happens. It won't be Columbus, who lost in penalties 10-9. 10-9. We were sitting here watching this, and Columbus's goalkeeper, not Zach Steffen, who was out with the national team right now, Ketterer was saved by Richard Sanchez in the 11th round, and Chicago goes on.
All right, we're going to take one more break. When we come back, we'll take your questions on Twitter. So one last call. Send us your questions and your feedback right now at MikeConti929, at Longshoe, and at ATLSoccer929. We'll get to your feedback right after this on the Full-Time Report. 3-0 Atlanta United over Charleston Battery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, when the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof.
I'm not quite sure if this classifies as shag music, but when you play and defeat a club from Charleston, you go to the shag bin because shag music, a staple. In fact, I believe the official music of the state of South Carolina.
I think you're right. Can we get some shrimp and grits sent up here, too?
I can feel the breezes on Isle of Palms right now, or Kiowa Island. And in all seriousness, Charleston, one of our favorite cities in the country. Mm-hmm. The Twos are going to be going there in a couple months. Maybe we can tag along with them. But we certainly have to give fair play to Charleston Battery. They played very hard. Yeah. Nothing to be embarrassed about at all in a 3-0 Atlanta United victory tonight here in front of a record crowd at Kennesaw.
We were just talking to Drew Bartow, Charleston Battery fan, also an Atlanta United fan, and he was telling us a little bit, you know, behind the scenes with the Battery, and this is a team that's just gassed right now. You know, they've played two rounds of Open Cup, so they've been playing weekend, midweek, traveling. It's really taken its toll, and we saw tonight. They didn't have a deep bench. They've had some injuries. So they gave a great effort tonight. They're a team that will go deep in USL, and they'll be a handful for ATL-UTD2 later this year. But Atlanta United, just a little bit too much depth, a little bit too much quality tonight.
Yeah, it controlled the match, especially in the second half. And I think a really important storyline to all this, before we get to your tweets, is they stayed healthy. You did have to use some guys for 90 minutes tonight. LGP was one of them, Escobar another. I think Escobar kind of needed the game. We talked about that on Stoppage Time today. So no huge concerns there going forward, but everyone stayed healthy. Kratz took a couple knocks, was able to stay in. So it looks like, at least from an injury standpoint, you get through to Yankee Stadium in relatively good shape. They'll have, I would assume, a light day of training tomorrow. Then they have to travel to New York on Friday, and they'll be going pretty early. So, again, disruption to routine for an early Saturday match, which you can hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's get to your tweets. We'll start with Gustavo. And I'll tell you, Gustavo Rodriguez is one of our quality contributors night after night on the Full-Time Report. But Jason said during the break, this might have been Gustavo's best tweet ever. Carlton only lacks the Ritz to show his luxury soccer, but used Barco's yacht to set sail to the next round with Captain LGP, an enthusiast ATL-UTD crew, and Helmsman Williams on the bow. We need to send that to Jay Riddle and see if we can get a Photoshop.
I need a Photoshop of LGP with a captain's hat with Williams next to him, Barco and Carlton in the background. I need that image to happen.
This is from Chris Blankenship. Atlanta United was the better team overall with better players, but especially in the first half, Charleston had better chemistry and connection.
Yeah, I mean, it's Charleston, for the most part, their first-choice lineup, and Atlanta United was kind of getting used to one another, but we saw Atlanta United grow into the match. And that's what good players like Barco will do. And Andrew Carlton, you know, was telling us how comfortable it is to play next to a guy like Barco because he just makes you comfortable. He doesn't put you into bad spots. He's able to get out of trouble and make it easier for you to play your game. That's a lot of the underrated part of Barco's game was what we saw in the first half as they were settling into the match.
Kendrick Brock, I think this is a question a lot of our listeners have. If Atlanta United hosts in the next round of U.S. Open Cup, will it be here at KSU again or will it be at the Benz? And we don't know the answer to that yet, but I think a lot of that may be determined by the opponent.
That's my guess, is if it's a lower division opponent, it could be back here at Kennesaw State. If it is an MLS club, and especially if it's in Orlando, I think that would definitely be at Mercedes-Benz unless there's some kind of schedule conflict we don't know about.
The atmosphere here tonight, we were talking about it during the break, just incredible. Just incredible. 9,700 fans, largest crowd ever here at Kennesaw State for any sporting event, college football, lacrosse, all of that, women's professional soccer, the largest crowd they've ever had here. The atmosphere was phenomenal. And the supporters have a lot to do with that. The staff here at Kennesaw State did an excellent job. And I'll even give them a pass on the sprinklers because that came at a very good time at the match where there probably should have been a hydration break anyway.
Hey, so Julian Gressel loved it.
He loved it. Yeah, he just sat there and took the cooler. It was good for him.
He sipped on his water. He was good.
He put in a lot of work tonight. Norcross all day. This is not Alpharetta Dad, by the way. This is Norcross all day on Twitter. He says, just my opinion, but Alec Cann should be our goalkeeper, no disrespect to Guzan.
I mean, Alec Cann's shown well. He showed well in the first half of the season last year. I think Brad Guzan is a little bit of a different class. I mean, Brad Guzan's one of the best goalkeepers the United States has ever produced. Alec Cann is showing, though, that if you have to turn to him, you're going to be just fine. I think it's just a matter of experience with him. You know, Brad Guzan has much more professional experience than Cann, but Cann is showing that, you know, if you're a team and you're looking for a starting goalkeeper, that might be somebody you're looking at some point. And remember, there's three teams coming into the league over the next 2 years. It's going to be three open positions around the league. Alec Cann could be a player that's targeted for that.
He played very well tonight, made a couple big saves. There was kind of a scramble midway through the second half where Charleston, Kevin Kratz had to clear it off the line twice, but Cann came out, made a really strong punch in the first half. It was a good night for Alec Cann.
Two saves on the record for him. The other punch with the left hand where Thomas went down, he's able to beat him to the ball before it even resulted in a shot. Good night for Alec Cann. Good clean sheet.
Scott tweets in, says he's expecting Orlando, and they won tonight, as we said, but he's hoping for Nashville at Nissan Stadium. The Sweet Tea Derby is real. Well, Nashville, I believe, still has a 1-0 lead as they go deep into the second half, and I want to throw another venue on the possibility pile. Jason and I would love to go back to Nashville, by the way, not that we don't want to have a match here. They are playing at Vanderbilt's football stadium tonight. Yes, there are football lines on the pitch. But if you want to talk about a fun weekend, Atlanta United and Nashville in the round of 16 of U.S. Open Cup on a beautiful summer afternoon, maybe after the World Cup matches have concluded next Sunday, just hypothetically, that would be a lot of fun. But I will also tell you this. One of the USL clubs that I really do not want to see if I'm Atlanta United is Nashville. I don't want to see those guys at all. They're playing very well. They kind of went toe-to-toe, obviously, in a preseason match in poor conditions, but their second team against Atlanta United's first team actually got a goal with Rapapa Mensa. So that's not a club I would be all that thrilled to see.
We have another potential opponent that could be in the mix, depending on how the geography works out. FC Cincinnati going to penalties against Minnesota United.
I don't want to see them either, especially not at Nippert. They have that magical run through U.S. Open Cup.
They don't have their same goalkeeper, though.
That's true. Mitch Hildebrand, who I mildly surprisingly did not start tonight for Atlanta United, but he was their keeper during that magical run last year. Ricky Ricardo, who else gets a look for next game that's not a regular first-team starter? I don't know if this is in reference to an Open Cup match or the New York City match on Saturday.
Yeah, I would assume talking Open Cup. Lagos Kunga was one that I thought could have been, you know, on the field tonight. Could be an injury because he didn't play over the weekend, wasn't in the 18 tonight. John Gallagher is another one who's played really well with ATL-UTD2. Oliver Shannon has played well with ATL-UTD2. Yosef Samuel didn't get on the field tonight. Wouldn't surprise me at all to see him in the mix for another Open Cup match. It really just depends on these next couple of MLS matches. and who plays. Bello, I think, will be in action with the Academy. The Academy had friendlies tonight against the Columbus Crew. They actually had friendlies in Nashville. They're getting ready for national playoff action coming up. So I think Bello's going to focus on that, probably with the U19 squad, much like Andrew Carlton did last year.
The good news for the Five Stripes is that Almiron was in the 18, didn't play tonight. Nagby didn't play. We think they were kind of emergency go-tos anyway. So you kept most of your veteran first-teamers out of the lineup.
And we have an update out of Nashville. 2-0 lead
All right.
For Nashville SC over Colorado Rapids. Not that I'm surprised.
No, that's not a cup set. We don't think that's a cup set.
No. I mean, it is on paper. It's not in reality.
No. Colorado Rapids, probably the worst club in MLS. Nashville having a very good USL season. One day will go up to MLS. Don't rule out the possibility that Nashville could be put in a pod with Louisville if Cincinnati wins, maybe SKC. Remember, they're going to put everyone in geographic pods, as Jason explained to you earlier.
Yeah.
We know that Red Bulls are through. Philadelphia Union is through.
We know Orlando and Atlanta would be together.
For sure.
They have to be.
They have to
be. But then which direction do you go with them? Do they go to Texas? Do they go up to D.C.? Do they go to Nashville? We'll have to see. Colorado, I don't know if Colorado is a shoe-in to make the playoffs in USL. I mean, it's that bad of a year for the Colorado Rapids.
That's strong. I think we'll take a break on that note.
It's bad.
That's bad. That's strong, but not necessarily debatable. We'll come back with one final segment of the full-time report. We'll look ahead. Hey, great win tonight. U.S. Open Cup keeps going. But the MLS season keeps going, too, and two brutal road matches are coming up starting Saturday afternoon at Yankee Stadium. We'll look ahead to that right after this. 3-0 Atlanta United over Charleston Battery here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Wrap up the full-time report here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This one, Jason, might require a little bit of explanation.
Charleston's finest Jump Little Children. I've seen them probably 25 or 30 times live. They used to come through Athens all the time. They'd play Atlanta. They were a great regional band in the late 90s, early 2000s. And they've reunited here recently, and they're playing a lot of shows, recording a new album. So that was one of their first hits.
Well, my suggestion of Darius Rucker was rejected because he's more of a Midlands guy as opposed to a low country guy.
Yes. But Jump Little Children is definitely Charleston royalty.
No doubt about it. So, unfortunately, the Battery did not come through tonight. Their U.S. Open Cup run ends as Atlanta United sends them to a 3-0 defeat here in Kennesaw. Want to bring you up to date quickly. Minnesota United is through. They win in penalties over FC Cincinnati. So, last year's Cinderella team in U.S. Open Cup is out. Nashville with a 2-0 lead on Colorado. It looks like this one is just about over. What? They're in the 88th minute, so a couple minutes left to go in Vanderbilt. They're playing at Vanderbilt's football stadium tonight. Nashville is a possible next-round opponent for Atlanta United. Orlando City defeated Miami United tonight 3-0. That's a possible opponent. Houston Dynamo running away over the North Texas Rayados. That's now 4-0 late in the second half. That could be an opponent. DC United is through. Louisville City, that could be an opponent. They're through as well. They went through last night, beating New England Revolution. We'll find out tomorrow, 11 a.m. The draw will be on the U.S. Soccer Facebook page, I believe. It is a blind draw, but they are putting
I saw the air quotes.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but they are going to put the teams in geographic pods. We do know that. And I would suspect, I'm almost positive that Atlanta United has put in a bid to host the next round. That doesn't necessarily mean, though, that they will host. It could be June 20th. It could be earlier. We do know Saturday we're going to be at Yankee Stadium for a very early Saturday kick, 12:30. We'll be on the air at 12 noon with the pregame show on 92.9 The Game. For what it's worth, New York City defeated 4-0 by Red Bulls tonight. Granted, U.S. Open Cup, not quite sure how first choice the lineups were on either side.
There were a few for NYC.
All right.
Let's talk about this from Patrick Vieira's post-match press conference. Alex Ring, bum knee, didn't play tonight.
Ring, who scored a golazo against Atlanta United a couple weeks ago.
David Villa, feeling a sore hip. That's why he came out of the match.
And he has not played a full 90 in a couple games now, and he also scored against Atlanta United a few weeks ago.
And then, as we know, Rodney Wallace, Ronald Matarrita are with Costa Rica's World Cup squad, so this is a thin NYC squad waiting for Atlanta United at Yankee Stadium.
But they have not even drawn, let alone lost, at Yankee Stadium this year. That's a big advantage for them playing on that narrow pitch. And we were talking a little bit about it on Stoppage Time today. Some interesting lineup possibilities now at Tata Martino's disposal as we go into that match Saturday. And some of what happened tonight may come into play.
Yeah, definitely will. And one player to keep an eye on who came out of that match here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium injured was Tajori Schrade, who had been playing great for NYC coming into that. He gets injured. He's back healthy now and scoring goals, so he could be a real factor in the match. But Atlanta United, you know, we saw players like Andrew Carlton tonight. Wouldn't surprise me to see him with the first team again in these next two matches. Definitely possible. Ezequiel Barco played a lot of minutes tonight. Maybe we don't see him from the start at NYC. Maybe we see him off the bench against a tired NYC team in the second half. Tata Martino has a lot of options tonight because a lot of players stepped up and showed very well in the opportunity they had.
I think one player we can count on for sure who's really shown well the last two MLS matches is Mikey Ambrose, as he kind of eases into the role vacated by Greg Garza, who was injured. Again, Nagby did not have to play tonight. Almiron did not have to play tonight. Guzan obviously was not even in the 18. So for the most part, I think the questions will be, okay, can McCann give you something? He missed tonight with a hamstring. Can Vijalba give you something? It was iffy as to whether or not he would be able to play because as far as the back line is concerned, LGP had a high workload tonight playing a full 90, and Franco Escobar did as well.
He did, but LGP did not play last Wednesday at Gillette Stadium, so he had that one off. Franco Escobar has been getting back into form after some injuries, so he's a little fresher than the rest. But Michael Parkhurst had the night off. Jeff Lorenowitz had the night off. Darlington Nagby warmed up on the side, didn't play. Miguel Almiron, same. Joseph Martinez didn't dress. So a lot of key players had the night off, and we'll come into that match in New York on Saturday fresh.
All right, we'll be on the air 12 noon Saturday, live from Yankee Stadium. 12:30 will be the kickoff. Jason and I will be in the Bronx, and we're looking forward to bringing you that. It's going to be a very busy week ahead for Atlanta United. Still two more matches between now and next Wednesday at New York City on Saturday, and that at Columbus Crew a week from tonight, as Atlanta United will see the second place and third place teams in the East in their next two matches. Want to thank our producer tonight, Jimmy Vance, our studio producer, Oren Romaine, Miller Pope, our on-site engineer, and the great crew here at Kennesaw State who gave you the TV pictures if you were watching online tonight. That's why you got the TV description as opposed to the radio. For our entire crew, Jason Longshore again, I'm Mike Conti. Final score one more time, 3-0 Atlanta United over Charleston Battery in round four of the U.S. Open Cup. And we'll see you Saturday from Yankee Stadium on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.